radio.org.au.
Prepare the Way of the Lord, an Advent talk by Sister Mary Rachel of the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia. This talk was recorded at the 2013 Women's Retreat run by the University of Notre Dame Sydney Chaplaincy.
A few years ago, I was thinking about the liturgical year, and I think about it each time when Advent comes around or some big special day. And I think of the liturgical year as God's mercy in reminders. God's mercy in reminders. I don't know if you found this, but you know when maybe you're getting really wimpy in your spiritual life, and all of a sudden we have this huge, like a big martyr feast, and we hear the lives of the martyrs, and then our wimpiness turns to, oh, okay, wow, yeah, ready for that. Or we're getting a little bit slack and comfortable, and then the Lenten season comes, and we're like, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to be fasting or something. Or we're getting too austere in our fasting, and then all of a sudden, Easter comes. But I think what happens is, anytime we begin to forget the essentials, it's okay, because Mother Church reminds us through the liturgy. So God's mercy in reminders. And that's really the seasons, right? So in Advent, there are three comings that we think about. Okay, the Lord is coming to us. So at his birth, his second coming, which we've been reflecting on recently in the liturgy, and every single day. Okay, so all of this reminds us that God the Son is on a pilgrimage of love from the Father. So our salvation is his initiative. He is the one on pilgrimage of love from the heart of the Father, right? So it's this movement, Trinity, right? And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and then takes us back with him, okay? So I think it's important that we remember that we are the ones that are being sought after. The way he does this is that through his Son, but also through the prophets. He sent and sends prophets continuously. We will hear in the second week of Advent that great, maybe the greatest of all prophets, the beautiful John the Baptist, that crazy man of the desert, right? And what John the Baptist gives that message, he is known as the voice, right? So in Luke's gospel, this is Luke chapter 3, verse 4 and following, and he's quoting the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In a little bit, we're going to talk about what are our rough ways and what are the valleys and what are the mountains and all of those things. But I think it's important to ask that question, what is John the Baptist crying out? What is he crying out? And it's John the Baptist is always the one who's crying out repentance. Now, it is kind of early in the morning, isn't it, to be thinking about our sins? But we've got to do crash course because we're only here for a few hours. Okay. But his message is one of repentance, of getting rid of whatever gets in the way of our relationship with the Lord. Okay? So what is his message? Repentance. And where is he crying out? In the desert. All right? John the Baptist is beautiful because what he does is he gets our attention and then he moves out of the way for the Lord, right? So his great phrases of one mightier than I, right? He says that. And then he says, he, Jesus, must increase, I must decrease. And then John the Baptist, you could almost hear him constantly repeating, I am not, right? The Lord is, I am. John the Baptist, I am not. I am not. I am not. Okay. So he's crying out in the wilderness, and we might ask, what is our wilderness? What is our desert to which he is calling? Okay. I guess if we think about what is a desert and what is the wilderness, it's the place where no one is. Nobody. If we're there, we happen to be the only person there. Okay? But the wilderness for us can be viewed as negative, as a solitude, loneliness. Or no, I should say loneliness. Our wilderness can be viewed as loneliness. Or solitude. Solitude means there's someone else there with you. Okay? Loneliness means, oh, aloneness. Solitude means that I am open to the presence of another. Okay, the Catechism talks about when we go to pray, we go to that place in our hearts where no one has access except the Lord of our hearts. And in that place, we allow our masks to fall. Okay? That place of intense intimacy, where sometimes, I bet you sometimes we don't ever get there. Or we don't get there, I shouldn't say ever. We don't get there that often. And maybe we don't even encounter the Lord there. But that's the place where he is and wants to be and wants to meet us, where we let those masks fall. You know, sometimes there's a retreat model that does this thing that's called the Onion Man. Have you ever heard of this? As I've been doing, helping out with retreats in high school, I learned about it. And it's really clever, but it's kind of cute too, Onion Man. So an onion has all these layers, right? And the outward layer is what everybody sees. Like you right now are seeing my most external level, like layer. You don't even know, maybe you don't know much about me. Same. I'm looking at you and I'm seeing the external level. Then the person next to you might see the next because you've talked a few times, right? Your family sees the next layer of your onion personhood. And then, but then there's the way, way deep down in the center of you. And that is the place of intimacy with the Lord. That's the place where that's the place where the Blessed Trinity dwells, right? In a person who has been baptized. I don't know if we get there that often, but I think that might be the place where John the Baptist is leading us. He's the one calling out in the wilderness. In that desert also, in that place of wilderness, sometimes I think why we don't want to get there is it's usually pretty quiet. It's a place of silence. And sometimes people don't like silence, because when we get to a place of silence, we hear things, I mean, not like, maybe you do hear other things, but we hear things or remember things that we don't want to hear. But it's also, the Lord might be then asking something of us. And sometimes we're not ready for that, okay? So this season, though, of Advent is a beautiful time of making that silence full. Again, a silence of solitude where we might be alone with the Lord, but not loneliness. Okay, we're not made for loneliness or isolation. We're made for communion. But it's possible to be in communion by yourself because you're always in the presence of the Lord. Okay? So when we think of silence, again, it could be positive or negative, but I was thinking about the sentiments of Advent, the different things that conjure up. So silence, waiting, expectation, incompletion, counting down the days, longing, joy, hope, calm. And then I put here, yeah, right, shopping lists, right? If I have a Christmas shopping list, that doesn't sound very calm. Then that music that goes and when you're shopping, whatever it is. Okay. So these sentiments of themselves can be positive, or we can view them sometimes as negative. So silence can be the beautiful silence of sitting with somebody that you love and you're comfortable being silent. Or it can be that horrible silent treatment, where you've done something or that other person's done something and they're purposefully not talking to you. That's the bad kind, okay? Then there's the waiting for a little baby to come or the waiting to go home or the waiting for somebody to come home or the waiting to get married or the waiting to make profession or that waiting that's filled with excitement. Or there's that waiting in the traffic, right? So it's depending on the ways that we view these words of waiting, of expectation, of silence. When it is filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to be the positive kinds, okay, all the good things. Whenever Pope Benedict a little while ago was talking about this silence, he said, Advent, this intense liturgical time, invites us to pause in silence to grasp a presence. It is an invitation to understand that every event of the day is a gesture that God directs to us, a sign of care he has for each of us. How many times God makes us perceive something of his love, to have, so to speak, an interior diary of this love would be a beautiful and salutary task of our life. So you know how when sometimes people have diaries, or like a diary can be two things. A diary could be like an appointment calendar, or it could be remember this and remember that. And what Pope Benedict is saying is to have an interior diary. I think what he's saying is remember. Remember the faithfulness of God. So a day like today, when I just said earlier on, when I said earlier on about the word, oh, that's right, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. An interior diary means the Lord has probably spoken a word to you at some point in your life. Don't forget it. Days like today, remember those words. They are life-giving words. Okay, so that interior diary means that every day the Lord is reaching out to us, and how important it is for us to remember, right? And that idea of remembrance, so the memory of the church, is very, very deep. That's why the Lord says, do this in memory of me. Because if you think about it, if you remember, whenever he's saying, to remember, not just to remember like, oh yeah, but it's to remember with your heart, the memory of our heart. Okay, so when the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me, he's teaching us how to live, okay, to remember his fidelity. So we need silence to grasp this presence. We need to try so hard to carve out times of silence in our day. Super hard to do. Super hard to do. But maybe something later on we could look at to as kind of a resolution for you. It's always good to have resolutions at the end of a retreat. Just something little, don't do something big that's unattainable. But maybe carving out a little bit of silence. So silence is the first sentiment. Waiting is another sentiment. We can still and have to do many things while we are silent and while we are waiting. Okay? Because if you think of the Song of Songs, whenever in the Song of Songs, it says that the bride is attentive to another presence, what she is doing is she is silent, but her heart is waiting. Okay, so it's the same thing I said earlier. If you're getting ready for a wedding, you're getting ready for somebody to come home, you're doing things, but your heart is in a disposition of waiting, of readiness, of excitement. Okay, so it's where our hearts are during this Advent season. I'm going to flip that around again to a really super important principle in the spiritual life. Again, we see in this section of the Catechism on prayer that talks about Saint Augustine. He's reflecting on that Samaritan woman and that conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, when Jesus says, if you only knew who was asking you for a drink, right? If you knew who it was that was asking for your drink, you would ask him for a drink, right? So then Saint Augustine takes that and he talks about the thirst that we have. And he says then, God thirsts for us, that we in turn might thirst for him. When we see that our prayer life and our spiritual life and everything is God's initiative, it changes our way of being, it changes our way of relating to people, it changes our way of living our lives. Because we no longer see prayer as this grasping, like, where are you, God? Where are you, God? Where are you in my life? Searching, this frantic busyness. Instead, it's a, oh, wait a second, oh, I will allow myself to be found by you. You are making this initiative. Okay? So we're saying silence and waiting, but I think what we might even ask is perhaps we can see he is waiting for us. Yes, we're waiting for him to come, but he more fundamentally is waiting for us. Sometimes I think when we hear that, we say, well, wait a minute, I do all these, I go to church, I do pray, I do all these things. But you know what? If we're standing still in the spiritual life, it's an unreality. We have to be always allowing him to draw us. Okay, so for all of us, it's what is that next step for us? The beloved, wants nothing to separate us from his love. And that love is so, not really fragile, but fragile in this sense. You know, whenever sometimes if you have a grain of sand or something in your hand and it fell off something and you're going like this with your hand and it doesn't bother you, of course, because it's rough surface. If you had that grain of sand in your eyeball, how irritating that is, isn't it? And you're working at it to just try to get it off. Sometimes I think about that with obstacles in our relationship with the Lord. That's how the Lord is. That grain of sand is pretty darn small. But he's like, even that, it is still between you and me. Okay, so even if we say, oh yeah, I'm doing all these things and I'm at this retreat today, that's great. But to see that the Lord is even more, he wants more and more and more of us. More and more of us. Pope Benedict in another Advent address says, our whole personal, familial, and social existence passes through this dimension of waiting. Every one of us, therefore, especially in the season in which we prepare for Christmas, can ask himself, what am I waiting for? For what in this moment of my life does my heart long? And this same question can be posed at the level of family, community, and nation. So I think that's important, especially if there's mums here. What is your family waiting for, right? You as a mum and your husband are in charge of your little family. What is it that the Lord is asking of your family? Religious communities, what is the Lord asking of our communities? Whether it's a community movement, whether it's your a Bible study. But we kind of have that stamp, right, that the Lord is the one searching for us. So the Lord is on a pilgrimage of love, and the question is, what is the terrain of our hearts? What's the terrain? John the Baptist gives that, because of Isaiah, gives that beautiful, the highways and the byways and the valleys and things. Before I do that, I want to beg for your mercy too. I'm just going to read a little bit of Pope Francis's apostolic letter on Evangelii Gaudium that came out only recently. And this is just the beginning. I haven't read the whole thing yet, and I'm excited to. But he was making an invitation that I think is good for us today. He says, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day, right? So the Holy Father's not saying, yeah, we're just gonna stand here for a little bit and then maybe next month I'll come a little closer to the Lord. Unfailingly each day. Our lives are a bit short. Our lives are short and we don't know how long we have, right? So we want to live every single day to its fullness, every day allowing him to draw us closer and closer to him. No one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or her, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. No one is excluded by the joy brought by the Lord. In a little bit, I'm going to talk just a little bit about the importance in our life of fasting. And what's funny is the sisters and I recently watched the movie Philip Neri. It's put out by Ignatius Press. This really, really fun. It's very, very long, but it's a great movie. And Philip Neri is often known for his joy. And I was very struck because there was a penitent that came to him to ask for confession. And you know what his penance was? Be happy. He told the guy to be happy. And I think that that's an important thing because sometimes we're just not. We make a decision not to be, or we fall into not being happy. We're like, oh, but she said that thing to me, or oh, my husband's just being, he's not looking out for my needs, or whatever. And we get into this, but I think we have to make a conscious decision, right, to be happy. There are sufferings in our lives, absolutely. It doesn't discount that. But I think sometimes it can be for us a penance to be happy. But I think we need to, it's funny penance, isn't it? I was struck by it, okay? The Lord does not disappoint those who take this risk. Whenever we take a step toward Jesus, we come to realize that he is already there, waiting for us with open arms. Now is the time to say to Jesus, Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In 1,000 ways, I have shunned your love. Yet here I am once more to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Save me once again, Lord. Take me once more into your redeeming embrace. How good it feels to come back to him whenever we are lost. Let me say this once more. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. Isn't that beautiful? Thanks be to God for our Holy Father. Okay, so how do we prepare the way of the Lord? I was just going to give a few thoughts on the words of John the Baptist when he talks about every valley shall be filled, every mountain made low. In a sense, this is a little bit like an examination of conscience. Later on in the day, we'll have an opportunity for reconciliation, adoration, mass, all kinds of things. But I was thinking about the valleys that are in our lives. Sometimes, valleys, if you think about it, that's a low point, isn't it? Okay. Sometimes our valleys can be lack of confidence, a lack of confidence in God's love, a lack of confidence in our abilities, an insecurity can be a disbelief or a discouragement. So it's kind of simple if you think about it. How are these filled? You just fill them with their opposites, okay? So a lack of confidence. We pray for the confidence in the love of God, confidence that every moment of my life he has. If we have insecurity, everybody has insecurities. That's just normal. It's part of being human. Okay, but for us to try to see, okay, what are irrational or too big insecurities? Those insecurities that stop us from doing what God wants of us. Disbelief, right? We beg the Lord to remove from us disbelief and fill us with faith, right, and courage. And then discouragement. When we feel discouraged, that's not of the Lord. So we just ask the Lord, oh, Lord, take that away and please encourage me. Sometimes I say that to the Lord. I go to the chapel and I'm talking to them and I'm feeling, and then I just say to him, Lord, I actually need a word of encouragement from you, right? So ask him, okay? Then every mountain made low. What are our mountains? Mountains maybe of pride, stubbornness, mountains of my way or the highway, right? Okay. So every mountain made low. The winding roads made straight. So you might even think of other winding roads. When I was thinking of what are winding roads, I think of, you know, winding roads, this. But I was also thinking of things that are like twisted. You know how sometimes in our thoughts we can get all, anxiety usually does that, gets us all twisted up in our thoughts, right? And gets us all not present and we're winding, okay? Another winding road I think is replaying old conversations. Right, replaying hurts. That's actually the word resentment. Resentment means to feel something over and over again. Our novice mistress used to talk about, we don't have records anymore, but you know, we used to have records. And she used to talk about remove the record, like the record just goes around and around. Sometimes we do that with our thoughts, but when we're aware of them, to direct them to the Lord. So a lack of forgiveness can be for us a winding road. How can we let the Lord straighten the way? Sometimes it's letting go, right? An openness to newness. Looking at our hearts and saying, is my heart big enough for everybody? Does everybody have a place in my heart? In the Sacred Heart of Jesus, everybody has a place. Does my heart? The rough ways made smooth. So what are our rough ways? As soon as you hear rough way, I don't know if you think about those little things, those characteristics of our personality that become a block to sharing the gospel rather than the bridge, right? Those things that, rough edges you think about. Things that cause us to bump into others, and sometimes a bump into somebody doesn't hurt. Sometimes it does, right? So allowing the Lord to smooth those over. And we as women, James talks to us, I think, because we as women, we love to talk, don't we? And so sometimes our rough ways might be this, that James talks about the rudder. The tongue is like a rudder of a ship. It directs. And so sometimes we as women, that could be one of our rough ways. We can not just talk too much, but we might talk about things we really don't need to be talking about, right? So when we're in conversations, to allow to be up, to pull one another up in charity, okay? These are all worthy. All of these things, when we look into our hearts, they are worthy of our crying out to the Lord, of crying out in repentance. Or, I should say, and or, to hear John the Baptist crying out the Word of God into our hearts, the Word that gives life. The last sentiment is this idea of hope that is super important, especially if we just went through all those winding roads. We talked about rough ways and valleys and things. We might be discouraged, and that's the opposite of hope, right? But in this Advent season, we want to be filled with hope. Hope that we have a Father who never forgets us. I have carved you on the palm of my hand. I will never forget you. A Father who, in fact, waits for us and hears us when we cry out to him. In the Catechism, hope is defined as an aspiration to happiness, which God has placed in the heart of every man. It takes up the hopes that inspires men's activities and purifies them so as to order them to the kingdom of heaven. It keeps man from discouragement, and it sustains him in times of abandonment. It opens up his heart to expectation of eternal beatitude. Again, the three comings, right? The Lord is coming to us. He came to us once in history. He's coming to us every day. He will come to us again at the end of our lives to call us to eternal happiness. So our response in hope is to trust in God's plan for us and for the future. There are three practical ways that oftentimes these are shown in Lent, but it's also traditionally looked at in Advent, and they are the three practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Okay? Later on, you'll have small group discussion, and I think a good question would be, how is fasting different during the Lenten season and Advent season? Just something to think about. Okay? But maybe three practical helps in this season is to look at our life of prayer, encountering Christ in the present moment, and at particular moments of prayer. The Catechism also talks about in the section on prayer, if you haven't read, you probably have read it, but if you read it again, it's so beautiful. But there's a section that says, if we don't have particular times of prayer, we can't fool ourselves to think we're praying always, if we don't secure a particular time. You know, because sometimes people use the excuse of saying, well, I'm praying all the time, praying always. Yeah, but then the Catechism says, if you don't have particular times, you're probably not always, all the time. Right, so just even whatever amount of time you can use. Prayer expands our heart for a greater capacity for faith, hope, charity. The other thing is fasting, ordering our lives to live on a higher level, denying ourselves and making room in our hearts for Jesus. I just said earlier, connecting penance, repentance, or penance with joy. Right, so that might even be if you're finding that you are not, I don't want to just say happy, but I mean joyful, of just looking at that and saying, oh, am I giving in too much to these kind of a negative thoughts or whatever. And it's actually what the Holy Father is asking of us. If we are going to be the new evangelizers, we need to be joyfully doing that, right? St. Augustine talks about, in terms of this fasting, and he says, God desires to fill us with honey, a symbol of his sweetness and goodness. But if we're filled with vinegar, where will he put the honey? Right? We must be emptied of the vinegar so he can fill us with honey, his sweetness. And the last one is almsgiving, our acts of kindness and thoughtfulness toward others. This season, usually Advent, is filled with thoughtfulness of the less advantaged. What a wonderful, wonderful way to live our Advent, of looking out for others. You know what, y'all? In our climate, the less advantaged, yes, they are somewhere else. They're over in King's Cross, whatever. But as Mother Teresa would say, they might be right in your home, right? They might be right in your very own home. So looking out for those people in your very own home that are, quote unquote, less advantaged, lonely, they might need a word of encouragement, a word of forgiveness, a word of, you know what, let's just do something fun and let's actually start afresh. Let's start new. So to get our heart, the whole purpose of almsgiving is to get to the heart of the matter, which is charity, to grow in love. So in conclusion, God is desiring with incredible intensity to come to each one of us with gentleness and only where we will let him come. Only if we let him come, will he come. If we would just let him come, he is waiting for us. He's waiting for us in the silence of our hearts. He's waiting for us in the silence of the Eucharist, which we'll have an opportunity today to adore the Lord present in the Eucharist, to receive him in Holy Communion. In the silence of our loved ones, he waits to be loved by you today. Okay. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for seeking us out, for waiting for us when we have wandered all over the place. We want this day, Lord, to be found by you. We beg for the courage to allow you to come to the place of our hearts where either we've never let you come or we don't often let you come there. We beg for the grace to trust you, to live in your truth, and most especially with you, Jesus, to give honor and glory to the Father. We pray together. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was Prepare the Way of the Lord, an Advent talk by Sister Mary Rachel OP. For more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.